the Girl Crush Podcast.
Some theme music.
We'll be your Sandra Bullock source.
I love the range of movies that she's in.
Her eyebrows, they're amazing.
She has very striking features.
Fast male co-star.
Quirky little personality.
She's got real tears at multiple parts in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Key Sandra Bullock physical comedy.
Powerful woman.
I mean, she's the boss of the whole movie.
I'm just all in. Rom-com.
Brilliant. Smart.
5 out of 5.
Hello, and welcome to the Girl Crush Podcast. I'm Anne.
And I'm Allie.
We're obsessed with Sandra Bullock, so this season we're watching all of her movies and ranking them. If you want to give us your own thoughts, be sure to connect with us on Instagram at girlcrush_pod. And as always, be sure to rate and review.
We are super excited for today's episode because we will be talking about one of my personal favorites, The Proposal.
Whoop whoop.
This movie was released in 2009, and Sandra Bullock plays a character named Margaret. And in this movie, when an executive book editor violates her visa and is up for deportation, a plot to fake an engagement with her assistant goes deeper than she intended. You can rent this on Amazon Prime, or you could buy it on DVD, which I highly recommend.
Yes, this is the old school DVD that you need to hold on to for a rainy day. When one day the internet explodes, you want to own this DVD.
Absolutely. If you haven't seen this movie yet, I don't know where you've been, but please, please, please pause this and go watch it. You definitely should watch this movie. Go right now. Otherwise, here's your spoiler alert.
Today's episode is brought to you by Common Thread Boutique. This mother-daughter-owned boutique finds clothes that make you feel amazing and confident each day. Common Thread believes there's no age to fashion. There is a common thread. They sell clothes that transcend generations from grandmoms to moms to daughters. We love this store, and you can see what we have from here on our Instagram. Check their store out on Instagram at commonthread_boutique or online at commonthreadboutique.com. Girl Crush listeners get 10% off with code GIRLCRUSH.
So, jumping right into the plot of The Proposal, we scored this a highly unattainable by any other movie. 10 out of 10.
I don't know if we've ever done that in the history of Girl Crush Podcast.
I don't know if we have either. We should check our
very long year and a half history of Girl Crush Podcast.
It is the only movie that we give the plot score a 10 in this season.
It's good.
And in season one, we didn't give any movie a 10 at all. We didn't even give any movie a 9.5 on plot.
We were tough critics season one.
We were.
10 out of 10, though.
That is a high score.
It really is.
So let's get into it.
Let's.
We meet Andrew, played by Ryan Reynolds, who's an assistant rushing to get coffee. And we also meet Margaret, played by Sandra, a high-powered book publishing executive that the entire office is intimidated by. She's Andrew's boss.
I do have to say, I hate when people pretend to run with coffee when the cups are clearly empty. You're like,
oh, yeah,
holding it sideways. Like, someone put some water in that cup so that you pretend there's liquid in it.
Right. And then you would run more like how you would actually run if you have a cup in your hand.
Right.
A pot liquid.
I want to talk to like a prop director on why they refuse to put liquid in these cups.
Yeah.
It seems like such an easy thing to do. It's so
maybe
distracting
because
to me.
If they actually spill, like they would have to wait to film again until the clothes dry.
That's true. They'd have to like redo the scene.
I guess, but I agree with you.
Still.
Okay, we're going to interrupt ourselves a lot in this plot, I feel like, and it's going to be well-deserved.
It is.
Immediately, I love her ponytail.
Yes, iconic.
And Sandra Bullock, can she rock a skirt suit or what? Like,
she really can.
It's insane. It makes her look about 6'5", too.
Question for you, ponytail question for you. Mm. Which ponytail is better? Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Margaret Tate in The Proposal,
mm-hmm.
or Gracie Hart in Miss Congeniality 2?
Oh, wow. Great question.
They're different looks. Similar, but different.
It is a different look, and I'm looking up a photo now to make sure. Okay, the one from Miss Congeniality 2 gives me major Ariana Grande vibes,
because
it's got a little bit of volume. It's got that little bit of poof to it.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret's is more of a true power pony.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I'm torn. I think Miss Congeniality wins slightly on fashion while The Proposal wins on true power pony.
That's fair. Like, it looks really good.
So good.
It's so smooth. I can never get my ponytails that smooth.
I mean, yeah, I have flyaways so much. I don't think I could ever actually do a power pony because my ponytails will always just look like I'm a kid who needed to put my hair up because I was being too active.
But if you look closely at the power pony, it's not straight back. She has like a section that has a tiny bit of volume.
Yeah, that's true.
But it is it's different
from the Miss Congeniality. She kind of clips the front a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Well, she also has the pony later in the movie where there's the middle part into the pony.
True. So many pony options.
They're all so good.
Sorry, I had to ask.
No, I... Are you kidding? I love this question.
I'm afraid to ever pit Jennifer Aniston ponies against Sandra Bullock ponies, but it might be a tough conversation we need to have at some point.
I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Okay, we'll wait.
I just think they're very different.
They are very different.
Hmm.
You can tell Sandra Bullock's hair is much thicker, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like Jen's ponytails are usually flouncier.
Yeah. Oh man, I don't know. Wow, this would be a hard comparison.
Just different looks. You know, maybe we could just do a fun, not too competitive, just a fun like this or that of the ponies.
A pony poll.
Come to our Instagram for the pony poll.
Oh my God, we are 8 minutes in and we are one bullet point into this plot. Okay.
We must continue.
We must.
But go to our Instagram at girlcrush_pod for the pony poll. Okay. So we've met Andrew and Margaret at this point. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But we see Margaret fire one of her employees in front of Andrew, which Andrew clearly did not know was going to happen. This guy's name is Bob. Bob loses his mind in front of the entire office, calling her poisonous, saying she's going to die alone, saying she's threatened by him, etc. And she completely keeps her calm. She's very cool and collected during his outburst. And when he's done, she quietly calls him out for being incompetent and cheating on his wife more than he actually works.
The clapback by Margaret is strong.
It is so strong. And immediately you're like, oh, yes, she is the boss.
Also, good for her for keeping her composure during this man-child tantrum.
Oh, yeah. Don't think I could do that.
No.
So Margaret mentions that she needs Andrew to work this weekend, and he and his family are upset because he's supposed to travel home for his grandma's 90th birthday party. After that, Margaret gets called to her boss's office. We learn that she's Canadian, but her visa application was denied because she left the country for a book fair and didn't file the paperwork on time. And so her boss says, like, you have to leave the country for a year. Like, we don't have a choice. But they're really disappointed. And she wants to work remotely, but she's not allowed to until the whole thing is resolved. So Andrew walks in during this time, and suddenly Margaret gets an idea. It's like a light bulb goes off. And she motions for Andrew to come in, and she tells her boss that she and Andrew are getting married, which is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew is clearly taken aback by this. He looks shocked and like he wants to say something, but he just lets her speak. And she's like really awkward about it. And the bosses are like, okay, just make it legal.
Mm-hmm. Because they like want to keep her. She's very good at her job.
Exactly. Right. Like they don't press the matter too much. They're like, all right, just make sure it's legal. So when it's just the two of them again, Andrew tells her that this plan is crazy. He's like, I'm not going to marry you. And she kind of threatens his career dreams of being an editor because she basically says, like, as soon as I'm gone, you're going to be fired. And she's like, let's just do this. We'll get a divorce as soon as possible. And she pretty much ends up blackmailing him into this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear that Andrew is, like, super dedicated to his job. He has really big dreams of being an editor. So he's, like, ready to do whatever it takes. So they go to the immigration office to file for a fiancé visa, and they're questioned about the legitimacy of their relationship. And they're warned that they're going to have to do an interview, their lives will be dug into, their friends will be interviewed. And he seems really suspicious and like he's trying to get Andrew to spill the beans on the truth, threatening him with federal prison. But Andrew says the truth is that they shouldn't have fallen in love, but they did. And he kind of has an idea of his own here and says the only reason they hadn't told anyone yet is because of his big promotion coming up as editor. Much to Margaret's surprise. So the immigration officer asks if they've told their parents yet, and Margaret says that they're going to surprise the family this weekend at Gammy's 90th birthday party in Sitka, Alaska, which she did not know that's where it was.
Yeah.
And the immigration officer says that they'll have to report back Monday morning for their interview.
Andrew's face just the whole time after Margaret says they're getting married is hilarious. He's like, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah, totally. So Andrew realizes the power that he has in this situation. So he threatens to quit and leave her in the dark unless he gets what he wants. So he starts talking terms with her. And she agrees to make him an editor right away and publish his manuscript if he does the Alaska weekend and the immigration interview. And then he demands that she asks him nicely. So he basically just tries to humiliate her by having her kneel on the ground to propose to him.
I love it.
It's pure gold. He gets a lot of confidence in this moment. Like, he's obviously very sarcastic because Ryan Reynolds is sarcastic in any role. But he goes on a little much-deserved power trip in this moment.
He does.
So on the plane to Alaska, they're reviewing the interview questions, and it becomes very clear that Andrew knows everything about Margaret because he's her assistant, and she knows nothing about him.
I like that he continues to dish sarcasm to her, even though she's intimidating and rude. Like, anyone else is afraid of her, and he's not fazed by it.
Yes, exactly. And even though he'll do anything for his job, I don't really think it's because he's a pushover. I think it's because he knows he has to, you know, do some certain things in order to get where he wants in his career.
Mm-hmm.
So they finally get to Sitka, and Andrew's mom and Gammy are waiting to greet them. The mom is played by Mary Steenburgen, classic movie mom in my mind.
Yes, the mom from Elf, if you're trying to place who she is. Yes. Amongst many other things.
Also Step Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was just made to play the role of mother to adult children.
Absolutely. A very niche role. A very niche role. She does great. And obviously, Gammy is Betty White. I mean, like,
the queen herself.
The queen herself.
There's nothing I could say about Betty White in this moment that would do her justice. So
no.
We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, she's it.
So here in Alaska, Margaret is super out of her element. Sitka's like this cute small town. She notices that Andrew's last name is like on all of the stores. And she's taking this all in. And they get to a dock to board a boat to get to their house. And Andrew is like reveling in this moment. He's like not being helpful in carrying her luggage, helping her down the ladder, anything like that.
Honestly, I can't blame him.
Me neither. Also, one of my favorite lines in this, I mean, this movie is so quotable, but one of my favorite parts is like when she's coming down the ladder and it takes her a really long time. And he's like, congratulations, I'm 100 years old.
That was a great Ryan Reynolds impression.
Really?
Yeah, for a woman.
For being a woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Not like that a woman can't do an impression of Ryan Reynolds. That probably came off really terrible, but. You know,
no,
I mean.
Like my voice is 1,000 times higher than his. Yeah.
like an octave.
Right. So they pull up by boat to the home, and Margaret is super impressed because it's huge and gorgeous. And she clearly has underestimated Andrew and his family. And they walk in, and his family is throwing him a welcome home party.
Another super quotable scene. She's like, how did you never tell me you were some sort of Alaskan Kennedy? And he goes, I couldn't. We were too busy talking about you for the last 3 years.
So good.
Oh, man. I want to watch this movie right now.
Oh, me too. You know what? I'm putting it on after this.
Okay. Same.
I own this movie and I love it. So we also meet Andrew's dad, who's played by Craig Nelson from Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
Also love him. But in this movie, he's kind of a jerk, announcing to their friends that Andrew is Margaret's assistant and that he's not actually a book editor, which I'm like, that's so rude, first of all. There's nothing wrong with being her assistant, and the fact that he implies that there is rude. And second of all, even if he thought that that was the case, the fact that he, like, outs him in front of everybody is so weird. Like, you'd think parents would want to do the opposite and, like, talk you up.
Yeah, he's just trying to humiliate him in front of everyone.
Right.
Also, even though, first of all, it's fake because it's a movie, and also it's fake because their storyline is a ploy, something about Ryan Reynolds saying, she's not my meal ticket, she's actually my fiancé, makes you swoon unexplainably.
The number of times we write the word swoon in our notes here is astronomical. This is the start of it. We'll get into our love for Ryan Reynolds.
Also, but Oscar from The Office. Oscar from The Office is a waiter at the party, and he has many recurring roles in this movie, so this so is good. One of many.
Yeah. So yes, in response to this, Andrew reveals that she's his fiance. And tells him that they're getting married, and he then announces it to the party, which wasn't the original plan.
Mm-mm.
Gertrude, Andrew's ex, is there, and she introduces herself, and the whole party wants to know how Andrew proposed. So Andrew and Margaret kind of volley this fake proposal story back and forth, taking turns telling little tidbits of the story, and they're both like taking digs at each other throughout the whole thing, like she's trying to emasculate him, et cetera, et cetera.
And for some reason, I just hate Gertrude from like the first second, and I don't know if it's the actress I dislike or if it's the character. I just find her annoying. I think it's because I'm just like immediately protective of Margaret and Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
She's the absolute worst.
Yeah. Even though she's actually not a bad person. She's a great person in the movie.
No, yeah. She really is. Like, we have no right to hate her, but we just do.
We're just like, ah, Gertrude.
I know. And they named her Gertrude, which is like such an... Yeah. Like, you're not supposed to like her if her name is Gertrude. I'm sorry.
Yeah. They were like, let's give her the worst name. Sorry to any Gertrudes out there. But
apologies, but yeah, it's easy. Gertrude, by the way, is played by Malin Ackerman.
What else is she in?
Oh, she's one of those where you kind of know who she is, but you don't really know who she is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, she's in 27 Dresses.
Okay.
She has a very, like, familiar looking face, though, doesn't
right,
she?
Right, exactly.
Oh, Allie. She's Eva in Wanderlust.
Yes, yes, yes. Duh, 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 duh.
Yes, yes. Okay. Wanderlust is a Jennifer Aniston movie from season
yes,
one.
That's so funny. I don't really love her in that movie either.
No, I don't either. She's terrible in that movie.
Yeah, she is.
Her character. Sorry, not, sorry, not her. Not right. her herself. Yeah. Right. Okay. Sorry. Keep going. That's why she looks so familiar.
Yes. So the party clinks their glasses to have Margaret and Andrew kiss, and they start chanting, kiss her. So they're pretty much like forced into it, and it's like incredibly awkward. And Betty White then demands that he gives her a real kiss. So he does. And at first, it's still pretty awkward. But like midway through, you can tell that they kind of both just like melt into it. And there's this spark that confuses them both for sure. So Margaret and Andrew also have to stay in the same room. And Gammy gives them a quilt that she says has baby-making powers. And Margaret's embarrassed by her pajamas because she brought this like cute little silky set of PJs since she thought she was going to stay in a hotel room on her own. Like she was just like, you know, making herself comfortable, but she's a little embarrassed now.
Yeah, it does confuse me a little bit that he sleeps on the floor when there's like a couch that's at the foot of the bed.
Right.
It seems like, a little bit more comfortable.
Agreed.
Also, Alaska looks so beautiful, but I would struggle so much with it being light outside all day, half the year, yes. and dark outside all day, the other half of the year.
Oh, agreed.
It'd be rough.
I really, really want to go to Alaska.
Me too. I think it'd be so beautiful.
Agreed. I guess, yeah, you'd have to go at the light time of year so you could see things, but yeah, that'd be crazy. But he does have these, like, remote control blinds that are completely, what are those called?
Blackout.
Blackout, yeah. So it makes the room completely dark, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
The next morning, Margaret goes outside to take a call and leaves the door open. And Andrew's parents have this super tiny dog named Kevin. And since the door is open, he gets out and an eagle snatches him up.
Something about a dog named Kevin that is like hysterical to me.
I love dogs with human names like that. So yes. good.
My dogs have human names, but they still feel like dog names. Like
that's
the
true.
Name like Sam and Miles. The name Kevin on a dog is like hilarious. Like so funny to me.
Oh yeah.
I don't know why. I
It'd be
it.
Like naming a dog Jeff or
Robert.
I met a dachshund named Dave once. It was amazing.
Charles.
So good.
I love it.
Oh, I want to hear people's dog names from our Instagram.
We should definitely put that in the poll.
Yeah.
Pony poll and a dog name poll. That's who we yeah, are here at exactly. Girl Crush Pod.
Here we are. So she's like running around trying to get the eagle to drop the dog and make sure that he's okay. And eventually she gets him back. She catches him. And the whole scene is hilarious. And throughout this scene, the eagle ends up taking her phone instead. We also learn that Andrew and his dad have a tense relationship, clearly. And his dad wants him to come back to Alaska to take over their, you know, giant family business. And Andrew does not want that. He thinks Andrew's dreams of becoming an editor are silly, but Andrew defends himself and basically is like, well, sorry you don't have another son to do all of what you want to do. Meanwhile, the ladies take Margaret out for a surprise. It's mom, Gammy, a family friend, and Gertrude, which seems completely inappropriate.
I'd be so annoyed if my future in-laws invited my fiance's ex to any outing.
Yes.
But the fact that this is like a bachelorette party impromptu.
Exactly.
Even worse.
What are you doing? So they take her to this like DIY bar / strip club, clearly like the only place to go in this tiny town. And Oscar, the same guy who was the waiter at the party, is the stripper at this club.
So great. I love that they use him multiple times throughout this.
It's just amazing. And he's like the perfect person for it.
Yes.
So they make Margaret wear a veil and push her up on stage. This whole scene is amazing. Yes. Tell about her outfit.
She's like in a white button-up and work slacks. She looks so awkward. Clearly has no idea what they're doing. Also, it's like 9 a.m. They're drinking Bud Light or whatever.
What is happening?
I love it.
And Betty White's just like smiling sweetly and bobbing her head to the music. And then she's like demanding for Margaret to smack his butt. And the whole scene, like Oscar's stripping, is so hysterical. Like, not attractive in any way.
My cheeks already hurt from smiling during this episode. Oh,
it's so good. Okay, and I wrote a note in here as to why I think I hate Gertrude. It's a really weird thing I picked up on. She looks at everyone so intently, like she's so all-knowing and sincere. And I hate that from her. And
even
I
though
hate
that's
her
like,
so much.
That's like such like a nice personal characteristic. But in this case, you're like evil.
Yes. I don't know why.
Trickery.
I don't. And I'm just going to say, I don't think her acting is that great, maybe. It feels like so elementary.
Well, she's like with these huge names. Yes. And I mean, she's been in a ton of stuff. She's
right.
Not a new person by any means, but she's not at that caliber either.
True, true. So Gertrude follows Margaret out of the bar to check on her after this whole scene. And Margaret asks about their relationship. And we learn that Gertrude and Andrew dated in high school and college, but they broke up after she turned down his proposal to marry him and essentially like go away to New York with him. So after their outing, they come home, they see Andrew's really upset. And immediately Andrew's mom gets mad at his dad, knowing that he must have upset Andrew. And she blames him as being the reason for why they hardly ever see him.
Even though really, it's probably Margaret.
Probably, that's true. So Margaret goes to take a shower and she can't find a towel. So she's already undressed and everything. And she realizes that the linen closet is in the bedroom, not the bathroom. So she like, you know, sneaks her way back into the bedroom to grab a towel. And she gets stuck by little tiny Kevin, who is between now her and the bathroom door. And it's worth it to mention that she seems afraid of this dog.
He's like 4 pounds.
He's tiny. And she's like arguing with him. She's like, move out of the way so I can get in. And I can relate to this so much because first of all, I didn't grow up with dogs. So even though now I love dogs and I'm not really afraid of them, I totally understand this feeling of like not knowing how to interact with an animal.
It reminds me of when we lived together with Sydney. And I would hear Sydney having just very adult conversations with Miles. Miles is my dog, and you could just hear her carrying on a conversation with him in another room. Like,
it's so funny to me.
It's so amazing. Man.
Yeah, you're so right.
Not like commanding him to do anything. Just,
no, but
just
also talking. Not, and also not talking to him like a lot of people talk to dogs, like with really like certain voices.
Yeah.
It was just like real.
She'd be like, Miles, what do you think about this? I love it. It's such a fond memory for me.
Oh, it's so good. So while this whole thing is happening between Margaret and puppy Kevin, Andrew starts taking his clothes off on the balcony, which is connected to the bedroom. He has headphones in, so he doesn't realize that Margaret's home.
Unclear why he's like stripping nude on the balcony, but it's
I
okay.
Mean, I guess if you're Ryan Reynolds, like you can do whatever you want, but not something I would do. So they don't know that the other one is there. And they literally run smack dab into each other, full on butt naked. And very slowly fall to the ground. Like, this scene is in slow motion without it actually being in slow motion.
Yes, yes. It's as slow as possible.
It's so cringy.
Without being in slow motion, it is so great.
It's so cringy. They're just, like, both screaming at each other, like, why are you naked? Why are you wet? Why are you here?
That's so good.
It's so funny. Also, she's like, don't look at me. And then she's like, oh my God, I can see everything. Please, for the love of God, cover yourself.
You have to, like, they're so close, obviously. But can you imagine this happening with your boss, with a coworker?
Absolutely not. I just started sweating intensely at the thought. I would actually die.
Horrifying.
Oh man, yeah, it's a hilarious moment. They both quickly try and just move on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, as you have to do.
Right.
And call your therapist.
Yes. So that night, while she's laying in the bed and he's laying on the floor, she asks what's up with him and his father, and he gets really defensive, not wanting to talk about it. And he's like, that's not in the binder of the interview questions. And she starts to open up. She's been, like, pretty closed off with him before.
Mm-hmm.
But she just starts naming these random facts about herself that he actually didn't know. Like, sentimental things like taking disco lessons in sixth grade, reading Wuthering Heights every Christmas, that she cried in the bathroom after Bob called her a poisonous biatch, that her secret tattoo was one that she got after her parents died when she was 16, etc.
Oh my God, his face during this scene. We wrote in all caps, swoon.
Swoon! His face during this scene. It's so good.
It's so good.
He's like, seems so genuinely excited to learn more about her.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cute. So then Andrew asks her about the first concert she went to, pretending he doesn't know the song or the artist. But turns out he just wanted to hear her sing it, which is a really cute scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, Margaret, don't take this the wrong way. You are a very beautiful woman. And she, like, smiles shyly in bed. And then he just changes the subject and goes back to singing the same song again.
I swoon again.
It is so cute.
Oh, my God. I texted Allie during this. I was like, am I in love with Ryan Reynolds?
And I responded, isn't everyone in love with Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, my God. Can't get enough.
Really, it's true. Okay, I need a second. Swooning. Just thinking about that scene.
She needs to fan herself. She's sweating for different reasons now.
So when Margaret wakes up the next morning, she now seems to be all of a sudden self-conscious about how she looks. So she's, like, fluffing her hair, putting chapstick on, pinching her cheeks so they look rosy. And suddenly, Andrew's mom knocks on the door, coming in with this breakfast. So she frantically wakes Andrew up so that he can scramble into bed with her.
Mm-hmm.
So they can, you know, keep up their appearance. So his dad also comes in the room, and Andrew's parents pitch to them that they should get married tomorrow at Gammy's birthday party. And they're like, no, we don't want to ruin the birthday party. But then Gammy comes in, begging them to do it, and basically says, like, before I'm dead.
So, this is insane. It's so awkward. Also, it's, like, get out of my room.
Yes, get out of my room. And also, why in what world would anyone agree to this?
Right. And it's like, can you wait until we're clothed and not in bed to pitch this idea?
Right.
Catching me at a vulnerable moment.
Exactly. So Andrew starts freaking out, like, realizing his mom is going to be devastated when she learns that it's a scam. He's like, Gammy's going to die. And Margaret starts rubbing his back, comforting him. This is one of my favorite parts,
mm-hmm.
because she's, like, comforting him, like, saying, we'll get a quickie divorce. They'll never know. And they have this sweet moment where they don't really realize how close they're being. Like, they're in bed together now, and she's, like, rubbing his back. And then she kind of realizes what she's doing and, like, pulls away.
Yeah.
It's just so cute.
It is very cute.
And then she kind of just runs off because she feels a little uncomfortable. So she finds a bike and rides into the woods. And she hears a noise and finds Gammy giving thanks to Mother Earth. And she's doing some sort of what looks like a Native American ritual around a fire. And she asks Margaret to join her by chanting. And Margaret's like, I don't know what to chant. And Gammy's like, whatever comes to mind. And so she starts chanting to the window, to the walls. And eventually she gets really into it and just full on starts singing the song. And Gammy's like dancing along with her.
Love it. This is an iconic scene from this movie.
Iconic. And Anne, I have a video to send you that I can't wait for you to see.
What is it?
Well, I wonder if it will let me send you this video while we're here.
I'm dying to know.
Let me find it.
I'm embarrassed. Is it of me?
No, it's of me.
Oh, even better.
If it gets to you, you can fast forward to about 12 seconds in.
Okay.
I just don't know if it'll send while we're on FaceTime. Looks like it's trying.
Okay. I'm waiting for it. Standing by. Oh my God. I'm dying. Where was that?
When we were in Michigan last weekend to celebrate our anniversary, we were on this hike and there was like this little sign that said to the temple or something like that. So we were like curious and we went to go check it out. And Kale was like, do you know what this looks like? And I was like, what? He's like, the scene from The Proposal.
And I love like, that Kale called it out.
He did. And he was like, you have to do it. So I was not prepared. I did it on the spot.
It was perfect. And I hope you find it in your heart to share it.
I think I will.
I love it.
You know, I'll clip it to the good parts, but.
This is so great. I love that you said, should I be Sandy or Betty White?
Well, yeah, I wasn't sure which one to do. But I mean, obviously, had to do our girl, Sandra.
Of course. So good.
Oh. So in the midst of this scene, while they're singing this song, Andrew walks up, clearly super amused, and interrupts her to let her know that her new phone came in and that he's going into town to get it. And so she, like, runs off to go with him because she wants to get her phone.
Swoon again, though. He's like, yes! You're a freak. Like, why is he so cute?
I love that part. It's so adorable.
I just love him. I'm sorry, Blake Lively. Sorry, Scott. I apologize to Scott for...
Scott and Kale, we're sorry, but you just have to understand.
You have to understand.
Oh, man. I'm glad of all people he's married to, it's Blake Lively. I like her.
Agreed. I love them.
I stan.
I stan. I can't say that with a straight face, but I do love their relationship.
Me too. I am not, like, super into following celebrity couples or anything. Like, I don't really have a stake in many celebrity relationships at all. They are one I do feel like I would be disappointed if they broke up.
Them and Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell. I would be I'd be personally devastated if they broke up. I just like, those are two couples where you're just like, they seem like they actually love each other.
Yeah. Like they're actually like friends. They enjoy being together legitimately.
Yes.
Like their birthday posts to each other, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, crack me up so much. They're so hilarious. Also, can we talk about the fact that they're really good friends with Taylor Swift?
Yes. The whole conspiracy about their daughter's name being revealed.
Betty?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh, love it. All the more reason to love them all. I'm like, okay, yeah, that all makes sense. It adds up. Okay. So, sorry, guys. It's taken us a long time to get here, but hopefully this will be worth it. They go to pick up her phone, and Oscar makes another appearance, and he is also the employee at this phone store.
It tickles me that he runs every store in this town.
Every single place to be employed, he is employed.
Love it. He's a hustler, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So they go to an internet cafe so that Margaret can catch up on work, and it is dial-up internet.
Okay. I guarantee a portion of our listeners do not know what dial-up is.
Kale, can you please insert the dial-up sound?
It's like... But yeah, put the actual noise in. Instead of me shrieking.
It's so crazy. For those of you who are listening who only have heard of this thing called dial-up.
It's a mythical tale.
It legit used your phone line. So to give you an idea, if you were on the internet and someone picked up the corded phone line that you also had, it would kick you off the internet.
Yeah, because they were like, only one user shall pass.
Oh, it's so weird to think about now.
It is wild.
Like we had one single shared computer.
Mm-hmm. And a landline.
Yeah, and a landline. And they used the same connection.
That was it. Wild. Technology has come so far.
Yeah, like literally like now 20 years. I could be on my phone. I could be on a phone call surfing the internet at the same time.
Completely ignoring my phone call.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And also on my computer searching something totally different.
Oh, yeah.
Also not paying attention.
Oh, man.
Anywho.
So while she's at this internet cafe, she sees Andrew talking to Gertrude outside. And this moment seems to be the first where she maybe starts to feel a little bit sad or guilty about what they're doing, because she sees that they clearly have sort of an underlying connection. Mom and Gammy come to grab Margaret so that they can get her wedding dress ready, because remember, they're getting married tomorrow now. And they give her the same dress that Gammy wore. This scene also is a good mix of being really heartwarming, but also some really funny moments added in, such as Betty White's old dress having a much larger chest than Margaret would need.
Yes. It totally reminds me of that scene from Bend It Like Beckham, where they're altering her dress and yes. she's like, the mosquito bites into juicy, juicy mangoes. That's
what reminds me of that. Yes. And in this movie, it's like, oh, it's like an Easter egg hunt. Oh, so good. But it's really heartwarming because they're all getting a little bit emotional. Like, Mom starts talking about how they might spend the holidays together. And Margaret's like, well, maybe we can come here. And then Gammy gives Margaret this family heirloom necklace and tells her a story of her ancestors. And Margaret tries to refuse, but Gammy insists. So obviously this makes Margaret really emotional. And this is like the most vulnerable we've seen her.
Mm-hmm.
Side note, I'm also crying during this scene.
This movie's just like taking you all over the emotion map.
It really is. And I think I am like, I don't know if you feel this way too. I think I am the target audience for this movie.
Absolutely. I think
this movie was made for us.
I think like on a scale of 9 to 10, I'm a 9 on target audience. You are a 10 out of 10.
So true. Like
they looked at you and they said, Alexandra, we've made this movie for you.
And I'm like, thank you for this gift.
I will treasure it and buy it on DVD.
Oh. So Margaret is very overwhelmed. She goes back to the boat where Andrew's waiting, and she starts driving the boat really quickly. And he's like, what's wrong? And she's like, I forgot what it was like to have a family. She's been alone since she was 16. She feels like she's like screwing up Andrew's life, and she starts freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
So Andrew takes over driving the boat, but he makes this really hard turn, and Margaret, who cannot swim, is thrown out of the boat. Andrew comes to her rescue.
Two things. First of all, this was not a stunt double. Sandra Bullock was actually in the water. She said it was very cold.
Mm.
Second of all, I'm like, I will dive. Okay, you and I, we both do not like the deep sea.
Yep.
But however, if Ryan Reynolds is driving the boat, I will dive off the boat and he can come get me.
Oh, yeah. I will take that chance.
I will risk my life for that moment.
Because after he rescues her, he also, like, puts this blanket around her. I don't even know if it's his blanket or a sweatshirt. I can't remember. But he, like, puts it around her and starts, like, rubbing her arms and, like, hugging her to warm her up. Because, obviously, this is Alaska. It's freezing.
Mm-hmm. Mm, it's good.
Yeah. Margaret, what are you doing?
Oh, boy.
Open your eyes. So they get back to the house, and Andrew's dad takes them to the barn and says he wants to talk to them. Turns out the immigration officer is there and offers Andrew this deal to make a statement about the sham marriage. Andrew refuses, saying that they are in love. Margaret ends up asking if he's sure about this after the whole interaction, and he's like, no, but you'd do the same for me, which I think maybe cuts her a little bit because at least prior to this, she clearly would not do the same for him.
Right, but you do wonder at this point if they're both noticing the shift and realizing that now maybe she would.
Yes, exactly.
Also, it's ironic because in real life, Ryan Reynolds is Canadian and...
So true. I didn't even think about that.
Kind of funny. Anyway.
Yeah, love that. So the next day arrives. It's wedding day. The barn looks amazing. Margaret looks beautiful in this dress. They altered it really nicely. And Gammy walks her down the aisle. So obviously I cry again.
First of all, Oscar is the officiant.
It's just pure gold. Like every scene, they just throw him in. It's amazing.
I love it. Also, you're already married, but would you have gotten married in a barn?
No, I didn't consider it. It's just not for me. There's a wide spectrum of barn weddings. I have been to some that fall on many, many parts of that spectrum, I would say. But a really pretty barn wedding, I think, is gorgeous. Like if it's a nice barn, there's some sort of either heat or AC, depending on time of year, string lights, I can see it.
Like a venue that's disguised as a barn is different as a barn disguised as a venue.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Yes.
I already know your answer, but tell me.
It's no. I would not get married in a barn. I am a person who thinks that mason jars are meant for jelly and not for anything else. I've never been behind that trend of them being like used in decor for anything. And so that is just not my scene, respect if it is.
No, you're not going to have a rustic wedding.
No, I will not.
Oh. So the wedding begins. Margaret looks really nervous, kind of upset. And just as Oscar starts his officiating, she holds up a finger and stops him so that she can address the attendees. And she just tells them everything. And by the way, the immigration officer is sitting in the audience. And she's like, turns out it's too hard to ruin someone's life once you learn how wonderful they are. And Andrew is actually like devastated.
The music. And so like she flees, right? She runs out, leaving him at the altar. And he goes after her, which I'm just like, oh. And the music in the scene where he's running to the house to see if she's there is so emotional.
It really is. It just brings it home.
I love it.
And she really booked it out of there. She leaves his manuscript on the bed with a note saying that he was right. Side note, I can't remember if I said this earlier, but he had given her a manuscript of his own for her to read. And she had kind of like brushed it aside earlier. And in this note, she said, this book is special and that she lied because she didn't want to lose him as an assistant, but that she will make sure that the company will publish it. And then Gertrude comes in.
Like, stay in your lane, which would be outside and preferably not at the wedding at all, Gertrude.
Read the room.
Why are you in the bedroom? Like, not only did you follow him, you came into the house, but you followed him to the bedroom and now you decided you should walk in and confront him.
Oh, it's so embarrassing. Her face is so stupid in this part. And then she's just like fiddling with her hands.
I've never seen Allie like hate on someone who does not deserve it.
I acknowledge it, but this is just
Gertrude
with
her stupid face and her stupid hands.
I just can't help it.
It's okay. I understand.
Oh. So Andrew just like goes on this venting spree to Gertrude about how crazy Margaret drives him. And she's like, so you're just going to let her go?
Classic Gertrude trying to be the good person. Like, get out of here, Gertrude. We know you have ulterior motives.
Thank you. Even though it might be because she's a perfectly nice person and she's like, you should go after her. But I'm like, why is the ex-girlfriend the one telling him to do this?
Well, in that case, they should have made her like his cousin, okay?
Oh, thank you. Or a best friend. It's fine. Yes.
No, not the best friend. There's too much.
You're right. There's too many. That's too many loaded questions.
Yeah, no.
You're right. Oh, man. So Margaret's left with the immigration officer and everyone who's left behind is arguing, and Gammy collapses.
Side note. The scene's been going on for several minutes, but we say, side note, Ryan Reynolds in a suit, am I right?
Just had to throw that in there.
Oh, boy.
Side note, we realized that the drumming beat that was used in that ritual scene in the woods, that beat is brought back in this scene after Gammy collapses, and now it sounds like a heartbeat, which is really a full circle moment. I think that's pretty creative.
The use of music is magical.
Right. So they get Gammy in a helicopter. It's her, Andrew, and Andrew's parents, and she takes off her mask, and she asks them to stop fighting, and she closes her eyes and says the spirits can take her now. And then a moment later, she opens her eyes up and she's like, well, guess they didn't want me. And the music changes. And she's like, can you take us to the airport? So silly. I love Gammy and
silly
her meddling.
Gammy.
Here. Yeah. So they go to the airport, but they don't get there in time. And Gammy and Andrew's mom obviously realize that he's in love with her. And they have to explain it to his dad because he does not get it. And his dad apologizes and is like, sorry, I didn't know you actually had feelings for her. Back in New York, we see Margaret packing up her office. She, you know, has like a day or 48 hours or something to pack up and leave the country. And everyone at the office is still avoiding her because, you know, she's very intimidating there. And they aren't helping her even when she's struggling to open the door, which is pretty rude.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew shows up. And he's panting. And she's like, why are you panting? And he's like, I was running. She's like, from Alaska? I just love that part so much.
What is he, Forrest Gump?
I know. And the entire office is just like silent and watching their whole exchange. And he yells at her to stop talking. And he's like, 3 days ago, I loathed you. But everything changed in Alaska. And he gives this little speech.
Oh, boy.
And he's like, Margaret, marry me because I'd like to date you.
Alexandra, I have to tell you my ass is sweating right now. And I don't know if it's because I turned the AC off earlier or if it's because of this moment.
I'm dying.
I'm like profusely sweating. It's the wine. It's Ryan Reynolds. It's no AC.
Imagining that this is happening to you.
It's just a recipe for disaster. Slash everything.
Oh, man. Oh, but her response is that it would be easier to forget everything that happened and for her to just leave. And she says she's scared. And he says, me too. And then they kiss again. And I'm in love again.
I love it. I love it.
And the whole office starts clapping. And the music is so dramatic. And I literally cry during this scene, which is embarrassing.
This is like a makeout scene I am so here for.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely worth it. It's like then this whole buildup and it's necessary.
Love it.
So good. Side note, her cheekbones.
Amazing.
Amazing. So obviously they get together. The movie ends with them back with the immigration officer starting their interview for their real engagement. And it's just this classic like movie credit scene where they show the interview with not only Margaret and Andrew, but they bring back Oscar. It just really ties it all together. It's so good. So we've literally been recording for over an hour and we just got through the plot. I hope that was worth it. This movie is so good.
It's just, it is a feel-good rom-com with actors you love. And I would love to hear from someone who doesn't like this movie.
Seriously, what is wrong with you? I did try to look up what some of the criticism was for it. And it was like, it followed a formula too closely.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what makes this movie so good is because it does follow that classic rom-com formula. We all know it's going to happen, but yeah. It's executed so, so well.
Yes. You know from the first moment exactly what's going to happen. And that's okay. Like,
yes.
And I feel like movies, we've talked about this so many times, like, they just don't make rom-coms anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it's because there is that predictable formula. However, people like it. Like,
yes.
And maybe sometimes that's not always the box office smash.
Sure.
But it's still so good. It's so lovable. Like, and I just think it's what our world needs right now. Some good rom-coms.
I completely agree. We already talked about this movie being quotable. I have to say some of my other favorite lines.
Please.
When she asks him at the beginning, she's talking about his family. She's like, do they tell you to quit? And he's like, every single day. Just Ryan Reynolds' line delivery with his sarcastic quotes like this, it just gets me.
You're doing a really good job mimicking him. I know I already said that, but like, it's really good.
Thank you. I think it's because I've seen this movie so many times that I know the exact way that he says the
like
line.
The inflection, yes. Like everything is spot on.
Oh, so good. Another line when she's like, you know, I can't swim. And he's like, hence the boat.
Oh my God. I feel like I need to watch this.
So good.
I'm definitely biased because I love everything Ryan Reynolds touches.
Right.
Like, I assume you've seen Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. So good.
One of my favorite, like, comic movie series, and I've seen all of the MCU, but Deadpool just, like, is so good to me because I just love him. I love him. Have you seen his new movie, Free Guy?
No, I really want to see it. How about you?
I haven't seen it either, and I also really want to see it. Scott and I keep meaning to, like, do a date night to see it, and we just keep getting derailed.
Same.
But, yeah,
same.
It looks fun. I love it.
Yes, it really does. And, of course, Betty White. I mean,
the queen.
So lovable. Again, I just don't feel like I can say enough about her.
The fact that she, like, almost turned down this role because it meant that she would spend time away from her golden retriever filming just made me, like... I'm like, you're my hero. I love you.
Did they let her bring her golden retriever?
They worked it out. Something with her filming schedule. It was worked out.
Okay, good.
Her dog. She was not separated from her dog. I'm like,
good.
I'm like, fly that dog on a private plane so that Betty White can do this movie. Betty White also said when she left the lot after finishing filming or whatever, she said that this was the most fun she ever had filming a movie, which, like, can you imagine? That almost moves me to tears. I don't know why.
I just got chills.
It's, like, inexplainable. This woman who's done so much in her career, the fact that she had such a good time filming this, like, it's so great.
Oh, that says a lot.
It does.
I mean, and obviously we talked about these top billed actors and actresses, but I think the side characters are so good, too. I mean, I love the parents.
Mm-hmm. Classic parents.
Classic parents. Oscar, his real name is Oscar Nunez, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such an overall, a really good cast.
It boggles my mind that this did not do well with critics. This is a 44% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I think it's because, like you said, the criticisms were that it follows the rom-com plot too closely. And it's like,
but
that's what it's supposed to do.
Exactly. And, like, they knew what they were doing. Like, obviously, they were going over the top with some of the humor, over the top with, like, Oscar being, like, working in every scene, but they knew what they were doing. It's not mm-hmm. like they were trying to do something different. They mm-hmm. they leaned into it, and I think they leaned into it in, like, the best ways.
Agreed. This movie just makes me feel giddy and happy, and I think this movie is one for me personally that just puts me in a good mood, you know?
Yeah. It's, like, such a wholesome rom-com.
It is. I do remember whenever we were teasing our season two, we said our season two actress was, at one point, the highest paid Hollywood leading lady.
Yes.
And this movie had a lot to do with it, because between her earnings on The Proposal and The Blind Side, she earned $56 million between June 2009 and June 2010.
What?
Which kind of, like, put her in that top leading lady spot, which is insane!
I literally cannot comprehend that. amount of money.
I can't either. I cannot. I'm like, should I spend $50 on this mirror? Like,
right. Like, excuse me?
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
I literally cannot.
Like, those two movies alone would have set her up for multiple lifetimes. And she's been in 48 movies.
It's crazy. Just think about how many of those movies that we've talked about that she had a tiny role in, or she was in for, you know, 2 minutes of the movie, mm-hmm. and all of the work that she put in to get to this point in her career where she could, in 1 year, make that amount of money. Like,
insane.
Wow.
I think it says something, like, we look at people in Hollywood as being like, they never worked a day in their lives, blah, blah, blah. And for some people, a very few select, maybe that's true.
Right.
But for the vast majority, they too put in decades of work to build their careers, you know?
And, like, most of them are hustling at the beginning of their careers with multiple jobs in mm-hmm. order for them to go after this.
Mm-hmm. So to me, I'm like, is that an insane amount of money? Of course it is. I can't comprehend that kind of money. But I'm also like, I've seen Hangmen. I've seen where this woman started. And she has persevered. And to me, coming from Hangmen to this, take the $56 million and run, baby. Like,
seriously,
good for you.
Good for you. Because honestly, just watching it, I'm like, okay, what do we get for watching all these movies?
What do we get?
I get the joy of doing this podcast with you.
That's so true. You can't put a price on joy, am I right?
That's so true.
That's what we tell ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Here on this podcast, we pay to produce.
So even though this didn't do that well with critics, it did win a couple of awards. It won Favorite Comedy Movie at the People's Choice Awards and won, this one just tickles me, Choice Movie Dance at the Teen Choice Awards for the scene in the woods with Betty and Sandra dancing, which I didn't even know was a category. So I just love that.
Me either. That's hilarious. I think the only thing I don't like about this movie is Gertrude, but...
Right. But the fact that she's kind of needed in it in some way, because, like, there's got to be something for you to dislike that is not Andrew or Margaret.
They needed some form of conflict, and she's, like, the most docile form, but...
Right, like...
We really piled all of our transgressions onto her.
I am a terrible person for not liking her, but it's okay.
So one of the critiques I saw was about the fact that, like, comparing almost Margaret Tate to Miranda Priestly from Devil Wears Prada. Oh, and the critique was that Sandra Bullock and Margaret Tate were never as imposing or scary as Meryl Streep's Miranda Priestly was. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I also think, like, the softening of those characters throughout the movies are very different. Like,
yeah,
the whole story is about Margaret Tate softening.
Yes.
In Devil Wears Prada, Miranda Priestly's character softens like an inch.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I feel like that was like kind of an unfair comparison about, you know, like a powerful woman in the workplace.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I think the two movies were trying to accomplish different things.
Totally.
Like, kind of like what you're saying. So yeah, why would they make that comparison? Like, it's not like this movie is trying to be that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
That comparison kind of bothered me.
Yeah.
However, totally. Allie, I've put together some proposal trivia for you.
I'm going to be so embarrassed if I don't know it, because it's like I just talked about how much I love this movie.
I mean, it's okay. I did some simple searches. I did some more detailed searches. I have 10 questions for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Number one. Who was originally offered the role of Margaret Tate?
Ooh, I actually do know this because I've been trying to think about what the movie would be like if she did take the role. It was Julia Roberts, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think she would do a good job, but I can't imagine anyone but Sandra in this anymore.
I can't imagine Julia Roberts in as harsh of a role as Margaret Tate. Like,
yes, at the beginning, like, I don't think she would do it quite as well.
Especially thinking about the comparison between Margaret Tate and Miranda Priestly. I'm like... Oh, that would have been an even further gap.
So true.
However, did you know, originally Sandra Bullock also wanted to turn down the role because she did not want to do a romantic comedy.
Really?
Yes. She said it had that RC attached to it. She didn't want to do it, but someone encouraged her to read the script and then form an opinion.
Oh,
so she read the script and she was like, shoot, it's really well written. And once they pitched casting Ryan Reynolds, she was like, it was very hard to turn down.
Oh, my goodness.
It's so interesting, like, these actresses, like, both Sandra Bullock and Jennifer Aniston, these are women who we love in a romantic comedy role. We, like, crave them in those roles. But them as, like, professionals thrive on these, like, unknown indie films. And maybe that's just, like, where their career has led them. They want something more substantial or meaningful, whatever. But it's so interesting to me that, like, she was pitched this and she's like, no, I don't want to be in a romantic comedy.
Yeah, it is interesting because people like us a lot of times love rom-coms that are, you know, they're not award-winning movies. They're not Oscar-worthy. It's just a good movie you like to put on, a feel-good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, it's interesting to think about their perspective of wanting something either, like you said, like indie, or maybe it is that they wanted something that's going to be more award-winning and like getting those types of nominations and stuff. Like that could be a motivation as well. Like a lot of times people in an industry where you're performing or, you know, you want to be like in the best of the best. And I think in Hollywood, sometimes rom-coms get a bad rap.
And that's so unfortunate. I know we've talked about this in detail over the past, you know, almost two seasons that... it sucks that comedies and romantic comedies are not viewed as worthy art by the Oscars or awards. Like, they're just this lighthearted thing, but they're hard to do well.
Yes, and exactly.
It sucks that, like, you have to be in this super dramatic, grisly role to be considered a worthy actor or actress. Like, that's just BS. in my opinion. But
agreed.
Anyway, question two. Julia Roberts turned down another role that same year, which also went to Sandra Bullock. What movie was it?
Am I allowed to look at our list of movies or no?
No.
No, because it'll tell me the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't remember it off the top of my head. Oh, let me think. I'm having one of those moments where I can't think of a single other Sandra Bullock movie.
If it helps you, this movie came out in 2009.
Okay. Okay.
The proposal came out in 2009.
Right,
so
right.
So it was around that time.
It would be around that time, yeah. I don't know.
The Blind Side.
Really?
Yes. And I cannot imagine Julia Roberts in Leanne Toohey.
No way.
No way.
She would have done the proposal better than The Blind Side.
Totally agree with that. But isn't that wild?
Wow.
So she turned down both of these roles because she wasn't willing to take a pay cut.
Hmm.
Which, I don't know what Sandra Bullock landed on, but it obviously paid off for SB because
yeah.
She won an Oscar for The Blind Side. But wild.
Wow. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. The proposal is set in Alaska, but where was it filmed?
Hmm. Was it filmed somewhere on the East Coast, like in Connecticut or something?
It was the East Coast. It was filmed in, like, Boston and Boston's North
Shore.
Oh,
okay. Okay.
All right. Betty White was how old when this movie was filmed?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know how old Betty White is now. A little over 10 years ago. Man, 76?
87.
Stop it!
Yes. She's 87. She just turned 99 this year. Can you believe that?
No, I can. I'm like dumbfounded.
She looks amazing.
She looks amazing. She's still doing stuff.
If anyone on earth were ever immortal, I hope it's Betty White.
Oh, yeah, agreed.
All right. What was Sandra Bullock's reasoning as to why this film was, at the time, her biggest box office hit?
The cast?
Her comic relief nudity. She said, when you're nude in a film and it's like a serious film, it's never as good. But when you're nude in a film and it's comedic, it always lands well.
What? That's so funny.
Mm-hmm. And she kind of referenced, she's like, have you noticed how Will Ferrell has caught on to this? Like when he's nude in a film, it blows up. So he like just drops his trousers in every movie. She's like, I'm going to start doing that. Because it seems to work for him.
Oh, that's hilarious. I love it.
Speaking of which, only two of her movies went on to gross more internationally. What were they?
Oh.
So they came out after 2009.
After 2009, my guesses are Gravity.
That's one of them.
And Can It Be the Blind Side? Did that technically come out after this?
Blind Side did come after this, but it was Minions.
Stop.
Minions grossed over $1 billion in the box office internationally.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Blew up. I wonder how much she made off that movie. It had to be a boatload.
That's crazy.
As a bonus question, can you guess what her worst movie was in the box office? So this isn't including movies like Bird Box that went straight to Netflix.
Oh, okay. All About Steve?
Loverboy. $33,000. Domestically. Yeah.
Wow. I'm sure we talked about that on our Loverboy episode, but I don't remember that. Wow.
I don't know if I mentioned it there. But yeah, crazy. Minions and Gravity went on to earn a lot of money. Gravity earned like twice as much as this one. Minions over $1 billion. It's insane.
That's crazy.
Did Ryan Reynolds and Sandra ever date in real life?
Whoa. I want to say no, but that it was rumored.
You are exactly right. There are rumors that they dated briefly in 2011 after Ryan divorced Scarlett Johansson. However, on the red carpet, Sandra Bullock brushed them off as a joke and said they were just good friends.
Hmm. Interesting.
Question 8. Ryan Reynolds faked a feud with which member of the cast?
Faked a feud?
Mm-hmm.
Oscar?
Betty White. The footage resurfaced this year for her 99th birthday. It's actually very funny. It's like Ryan and Sandra and Betty White kind of like faking an interview together.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's funny.
I have not seen that.
Question 9. What changes throughout the film to represent Margaret's softening?
Good question. Okay. Could be her hair.
It was her hair.
Okay.
It starts in a, like, tight pony, and by the credit scene where they're being interviewed, it's in these, like, loose waves.
Oh, yes, because in the wedding scene, it's down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fun. I had never thought about that.
There's another movie. I cannot remember what it is, but there's another movie we reviewed where they did the same symbolism, where it was like the hair changed throughout the movie.
We talked about this.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we talked about this. What movie was it? It was...
I feel like it was maybe a Jennifer Aniston movie. Was it?
Oh, really?
I don't know.
I was thinking it was not that long ago.
Not sure. Hmm. Can't remember.
Can't remember. Someone tell us.
Someone tell us. All right. Last question. This movie was nominated for 20 awards and ended up winning how many?
I did look at the awards, this one. I know it won the People's Choice Award. I know it won 2 Teen Choice Awards at least, but I think there was one more award. I think I won 4.
It did win 4. It won Favorite Comedy Movie at People's Choice Awards. It won Choice Movie Dance for Sandra Bullock and Betty White for Teen Choice Awards. Choice Movie Actress in a Romantic Comedy for Sandra Bullock. And Choice Summer Movie for Romance the 2019 Choice Awards as well.
Love that. It makes sense that it won a lot of Teen Choice Awards. And I wonder if teenagers who watched it now, like who are literally teenagers now, if they would have the same appreciation for it that teenagers back in 2009 would have.
I wonder that too. Honestly, I don't know a lot about teens these days. They kind of scare me a little bit. But
same.
If you're a teen and you listen to us, we won't be scared of you. Please let us know if you like this movie.
Yeah, because we were in like our late teens, I guess.
Late teens, yeah.
When this came out.
Yeah, loved it. All right, that's all my trivia for you. I hope you enjoyed.
I loved that. That was amazing.
I worked really hard.
Thank you
on
for
it.
Preparing
you.
That.
You're so welcome. So for Sandra Bullock's character of Margaret, we gave her a very strong rating of 9 out of 10. I mean, we have to. She grows so much.
So much.
Her tough exterior is broken down. She has these softer sides revealed. And you have to give this nod to her appreciating Andrew before all this. Like, she says that she didn't want to publish the manuscript because she knew it was great, but she didn't want to lose him. How they show that a lot of her toughness is to put on an executive presence at work. Because she ultimately admits that she cried in the bathroom when Bob was mean to her. Like, they show that she was a human before all of it.
Yes.
And the fact that she just learns how to, like, reveal her humanness is such a growth point. I love it.
I just got chills. I agree. And they kind of portray her as obviously not likable at first. Like, she comes across thinking highly of herself, like, seems a little bit selfish, is not really nice to Andrew, even though who's, like, very loyal to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that you can end up loving her character so much just points to all of the growth that you just talked about, because you do start off not really liking her.
And this is a character, too, that they give a good backstory to without going too deep. Like,
true.
You learn she's been alone since she was 16. And so she's put up these walls. And when she breaks down saying, I forgot what it was like to have a family who loves you, you know, that that just breaks your heart. Like, they gave her a reason to be tough, but they also were able to ultimately fill that void in, like, a very natural way with Andrew's family. And that just feels like a really good puzzle piece to me.
So true. I love that. I also like that this character is kind of a twist on her usual single, career-focused woman type of character, in that she's very put together, but what's different about this character is it doesn't have, like, that clumsy, quirky aspect that a lot of Sandy's characters have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's cool to see something different here. And another thing is, obviously, before everything happens with Andrew, she's single in this movie, but that's not really a topic in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's just part of who she is, and it feels like this is her choice in this movie, which doesn't always seem to be the case in some of her movies.
Yeah.
And also, like, it's hardly brought up at all.
You're totally right. In so many movies, it feels like her singleness is its own almost character trait.
Yeah, or like plot point.
It's this sad, sad thing that's happened to her. And in this movie, you're right. She's like, no, this is my job. This is what I want to do. I want to be alone, and I'm fine with that.
Right.
Again, the point that they make her very human. Like, I know she's demonized at work, but even though she fired Bob at the very beginning, in private, she tries to give him the option to find another job and then resign. She's like, I'll give you a couple months.
That's true.
You can find another job. But he was the one who lost his temper and blew up in front of everybody. So she was like, she was trying to be nice at that point. Mm. She was trying to not humiliate him.
That's so true.
And he chose that, and she ended up being vilified because of it, which I think it just shows that in the workplace, you know, everyone's so afraid of her. They were like G-chatting each other. The witch is coming.
Right.
But really, we learned she was not ever that person at all. She was an intimidating woman because she
successful
has a great job and she's good at it.
Right.
Like, she's competent, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And people just, like, are intimidated by that.
Yeah. So true.
Unfortunate.
I love this character.
Me too. Margaret Tate. Love her. 9 out of 10.
So for Sandra Bullock's acting in this, we gave her a 9.5 out of 10. So a 9.5 is the highest rating that we give Sandra's acting all season. I will say there is another movie that we do give her the same score in. So this is, you know, not common for us to give this high of a rating. She was nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Actress for this, but Meryl Streep won it for Julie and Julia. And we already talked about she won a Teen Choice Award for Movie Actress for a romantic comedy in this. So she did get some recognition for her performance in this movie. I just think her performance is so good. We already talked about the growth that her character has, and she really carries the character and portrays all of those different points of growth and turning points that her character has in such a strong way.
Mm-hmm. This seems like another character that would be super hard to act if you're filming out of sequence.
Oh, yeah, so true.
She just so slowly loosens herself up. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, when they're first at his house and she's laying down in the bed. It's so funny. She has this physical comedy bit where she's clearly trying to have this very professional persona, laying perfectly still in the bed on her back. She's feeling very awkward that Andrew's in the room. And just like even in that one room, the way that her and Andrew's characters kind of progress in their relationship, I'm like, oh, it'd be so hard to like think about where you are in that moment, you know, while you're acting it out.
Oh, yeah. So true. So true. A couple of parts that really stand out to me. When they are doing the scene where they're altering her wedding dress and Gammy offers her this family heirloom, I think her acting in here is so good. That's one of the standout moments for me. She obviously feels really guilty. She's super touched by this gift. And you can tell there's this like moment of her wishing that this was real. You can tell her mind is racing. There's so many emotions going on. And I just think she does that really, really well.
Totally agree. And on the flip side, Sandra Bullock's physical comedy really brings the comedy to this rom-com. Like,
yes.
Flailing around in the bed, looking for her phone, the whole, like, dog-eagle situation, even falling out of the boat and flailing. You know, she is just able to bring this levity to scenes, even if they're meant to be rather serious, or if they're meant to be funny, she really, like, drums it up. And so, like, her dancing with Betty White, it totally deserved that weird award of best dancing.
Yes. True. I love it.
Because you just can't help but smile watching that. And I think that's something so special about her abilities and her talent.
Yeah. And it feels so honest.
Mm-hmm.
Another part I really love is the whole boat scene when she falls off the boat.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, there's this moment where Andrew yells, "Margaret," and she doesn't seem to notice, like her mind is somewhere else. And he says it one more time, and she kind of jumps at hearing her name and realizing that he's talking to her. Her acting there, the reactive acting, is really impressive. And then a few moments later, when she is in the water and she is able to get to the buoy and she's clinging to it, I think the fear that she shows in that moment, because she can't swim, is so relatable. Like, Andrew gets to her, and Andrew offers her his hand. And she can't seem to let go of the buoy to take his hand because she's like, that buoy is making her feel safe right then. I don't know. It's just so good.
Yeah. I just think about moments like this where you're like, oh, it seems like they're so in the moment. It seems so real.
Right.
But then when you see behind the scenes footage of things, there's 100 people standing behind them, watching them. And it just blows my mind. Any movie where then you see the output, it just, actors who make acting look natural are so talented.
So true.
And even in situations like a rom-com where you really take it for granted, I think that's especially special.
Sure.
Because where you're like, yes, maybe this is an extrapolated version of reality, but the fact that I'm still believing it and loving it is so good. And that's why rom-com should win awards.
Yes. Preach.
At the very end, when Andrew shows up at the office, she has these tears in her eyes. She's so taken aback, and she just lets him be the alpha in the situation. And Sandra Bullock has these glossy, tear-filled eyes. I don't even know how you do that. Are they eye drops? Is it real?
I have no idea. It's amazing.
It's good.
Amazing.
Everything in this movie just feels very genuine.
It does. There's so much range, and yeah, she nails it.
She totally does. She and everyone else, to be honest.
Yes, agreed.
This is a team effort, for sure.
Agreed. And even though all my hate for Gertrude, I wouldn't change any role in this movie, I don't think.
Agreed. I wouldn't either. For Boss Babe, we gave her a 1.5 out of 2. It's not action movie style, but she's just impressive. She owns her mistakes at the wedding. We felt for some reason, maybe we were just on a high rating this movie, but we felt very compelled to give her a 1.5 out of 2.
I will say, I think her job makes her, I think she's very much a boss babe in her job. I think she kind of defines that term with her job. So
that's true.
I agree. I think we could have been a little biased, but I think we could have been even more biased and given her a 2, but we only gave her a 1.5.
I think this is where you're a 10 out of 10 as target audience and I'm a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
I think 1.5 is good. I think...
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I do agree, but I think the 0.5 is that we gave her for this. I think she does deserve it because...
I agree.
Because like I said, like when you're describing her character, like if you were to describe her job, I think you'd say like she's a boss babe at work.
Totally agree.
But yeah, different from like our action movies when she's like saving lives.
True.
Okay. Would you watch again? This is obviously a 5 out of 5.
I'm literally going to go watch it right now.
Yeah, I'm going to put it on for sure. And I could watch this movie like every day. Honestly, this is my comfort movie of all of Sandra Bullock's movies. If you watch season 1 with us, we talk about like our personal favorites versus our ranked favorites based on our scoring system. Season 1, my favorite was Just Go With It, like my personal favorite. This season, it's The Proposal. It's just my go-to Sandy movie.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Yeah. So to review for The Proposal, we rated the plot a 10 out of 10, character a 9 out of 10, acting a 9.5 out of 10, Boss Babe a 1.5 out of 2, and a Would You Watch Again score of 5 out of 5. Meaning that we gave this movie a total of 35 out of 37 points, which means that The Proposal is ranked number 3.
It's crazy to me that we have 2 movies ranked higher than this.
It really is. That is dun, dun, dun. So wild. I know. I can't wait to reveal them to you guys. So stay tuned. As always, thanks for listening to the Girl Crush podcast. Let us know your thoughts on today's movie. You can find us on Instagram at girlcrush_pod or on our website at girlcrushpodcast.com. You can also email us at podcastgirlcrush@gmail.com. Tune in next time when we'll be talking about 2 mockumentaries, Lisa Picard is Famous and Welcome to Hollywood.
Bye! Bye.